Here at C4, we like to be a family, and we all need to work together, receiving and giving love as we come. And these songs were right on target for our message today about us being ransomed, about our change being gone, about the freedom that Christ gives us. And today we're continuing on with the series, Who We Are in Christ. And today we ask again the question, who are we? Or you can ask yourself, who am I? And today we're going to look at the distinct truth that in Christ, that we've been bought at a price, and therefore we belong to God, that we are His. Let's come before Him right now, let's prepare our hearts, and let's ask the King of Kings to let us come into His throne room. Father God, we come here not just to experience entertainment. We don't even come here, Lord Jesus, just for ourselves. We come here, Lord, that we may exalt You and that we may be touched by You. That our focus, God, would not be necessarily on the circumstances that we are in, but that we would be above and beyond with our focus on You. And Father God, today, we pray that for ourselves, and we pray for our brothers and sisters beside us, that we would be bought by You. That we would be purchased again for us who have fallen away. And that we would totally belong to You in body, heart, soul, and spirit. In every way, Lord, fully Yours. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Going to the next slide, we're going to declare some truths, what we've been talking about, who we are in Christ. The first one, let's declare this together. Everyone, in Christ I am a new creation. The Word says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The second one is very true. Repeat after me. In Christ. In Christ. I am a child of God. The third one, in Christ, turn to your neighbor. Tell them, in Christ, you're accepted. In Christ, you're accepted. And the last one, let's tell your neighbor or someone across the room, in Christ, you've been justified. Tell them. Amen. We want to work together. This word, justified, that we looked at last week. We had a sheet covering possibly a man, but it was covering one of these things. But the word justified means that Christ looked at, He renders or declares us as righteous. And we talked about last week how we look at being justified in two ways. What was the first way? Anyone remember? A self-justification. And we look at that, and a lot of times we say, how am I justified? It's by what I do, by my works. But we find out it doesn't work. So we looked at the number two suggestion for justification, and that's by Christ. It is Christ and by His blood, by His works, that we trust. And so we are justified. Today we look at a new area. We look that we have been bought at a price. We want to open our Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. I want you to mark this, highlight this, make it known to yourself the next time you turn to that. Let's all read this together, brothers and sisters. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. First one that we have up here today, this should be in your outlines, and we want to remember, is the fact that 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you are not your own. So we declare, I am not my own. I belong to God. And when we make those statements, there's a little bit of shock there. What? I'm not my own? What's up with that? What's that mean? If I'm not my own, then whose am I? Some of you maybe understand the whole housing thing, that a lot of times if you buy a house and you have not fully paid for it, is that house yours? That house is not fully yours. You do not fully own that house. For myself, I have a mortgage with Wells Fargo and now Wachovia, you know, the big merger's been going on. So my house is owned by Wells Fargo and Wachovia. They are the owner of my house. It's not my own. And the same is very much for you and I who are in Christ. If you are in Christ, your life, your very body, is not your own. It is Christ. Now, Paul is thinking here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we don't understand that. Because he asked that question, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He's indicating, yeah, do you get it? That your body, your life belongs to God? Now why can Paul make this shocking, bold statement that you are not your own? That the deed to your life is not fully yours. It belongs to someone else. And we see that in the second half of 1 Corinthians 6:20. It says, you're not your own, and then what does it say? You were bought with a price. You were bought at a price. He says it later in 1 Corinthians 7:23. He says, you were bought at a price. Don't be slaves to men. So the question comes to mind, if we're not our own and we were bought at a price, okay, who paid that price? What was that price? And why in the world do we even need to be bought? So we need to tell a story and we need to go chapter by chapter, which many of us understand, but we're looking at it in a fresh way. Chapter 1 is that we were created by God. And because He created us, we are owned by Him. He becomes our Father, and we are His children. It's very true that we are not puppets. He does not pull our strings. He has given us a free will, and we can choose Him or not choose Him. And as we started out with Him, there was a big sale. We were actually in the process of a big sale, an auction. You could maybe say it was called a stock exchange. How many of you like good sales? Okay? Yeah. I mean, my wife and I, we like get up early Saturday morning, go to garage sales, because we want even better sales than what we see in the store. We see things like a big sale today. We see 50% off, 70% off. Buy one, get one free. We even, my wife loves it. Yeah, it's 70% off, and I got this coupon for an extra 30% off that clearance item. My wife, she can really shop. And we love these types of sales. And we see sales that come at us like this all the time. Here it is. You want to buy true love? What is true love? Having sex. There's the sale. You want security? You want to buy security? What is security? Security is controlling your situations and controlling the people around you. That is security. You want to buy some? Freedom. What is true freedom? True freedom is doing what you want, when you want, where you want. Sounds good. You want to buy some? Salvation, justification. What is it? It's what I do. It's what I take care of. And therefore, I will be justified before man and before God. And no one can judge me. You want to buy some? The best one is lordship. being your own man, your own king. Gaining it all for yourself. Just worship and serve yourself. It's on sale, and it's a great price. The big sale comes, and we buy every day the lie that is put before us. And when we buy that lie, we actually are not buying freedom. We're not buying this justification. We're not buying this sense of my own man and own purpose. You know what we're buying? We're buying Satan. Or better yet, Satan buys us. In a simple way, we call this sale or these sales items temptation. And in these temptations, we think that when we buy those lies and those temptations, that in ourselves we will now have this fulfillment which we have been looking for. That somehow we will find what we needed in ourselves and in those things of the world. But really what ends up happening is we become slaves. And so we move through the chapters of the journey of life. And in this chapter, we become a slave to ourselves, to the world, and to Satan. How many of us are living in some type of enslavement? And we can't break free. There was a sale. Praise God, there was another sale. A bigger sale, a better sale. We could call it the big buyback. And the people that showed up is very much Satan. He wanted to be there. Jesus was there. And it was us on the slave blocks with our hands in chains. Good example. To the things that we had bought and that we thought would give us fulfillment. But the price was great. The price was very great. In fact, it was so large that no one was willing to pay it. Paul puts it like this. I was a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who will pay the price? This question's been going on, I believe, for such a long time. And in heaven, we see this at the end days. It says, "Then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' And I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of God who sat on the throne, and they began to sing a new song." Thank God for that new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, because your blood has purchased men from God, from every tribe and tongue and nation." Who was that? That was Jesus. What was the price? When did that happen? It happened on the very day that Jesus went to that cross and He died for you and me. He died for the entire human race, those who were before and those who came. That payment was a great, great cost. The bid was so high that there was only one who could bid for us. And that was Jesus. Because according to the legal stance of the law, the payment needed to be perfect. And it was only Jesus who was perfect. A great scripture in 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, that you were bought back from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of the Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. But the price just didn't have to be perfect. There needed to be a sacrifice to complete that full obligations of the law. And in that sacrifice, there needed to be blood that was shed. And so very much that the death of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, would take the place of our death that came from the wages of sin. I love 1 Peter 3:18 when it says, "For Christ died once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God." Praise God for that buyback. That we who were enslaved were bought back. That we who believed the law that could bring us so much of the fulfillment we were looking for. And when we bought that lie that we were actually purchasing Satan. He was purchasing us. And we had become enslaved. But Jesus bought us back with that blood, with His life, so that we could be set free. We talked earlier about a stock exchange. How many of us put our stock in the things of the world, in our own self abilities and all that we can do, even in the things of Satan? But praise God that we go and we exchange that for something so much better. And now we have that new identity. That our identity is no longer in the world. We no longer have the identity as slaves to fear or to sin. But we have the new identity of in Christ. And that is where our stock lies. The second truth that we need to know. First is we are not our own, but we belong to God. Second is that we were bought at a price. That was a great price. The blood and life of Christ Jesus. And because we were bought, we belong to God. The nice thing is that when we are bought and we have that stock exchange, a lot of times we have filled ourselves with the world. Like if you've ever gone and you've bought in a house, and you purchase a house from someone else like we did, carpet was messy. Ours was a foreclosure home, and it was all messed up. We had to go in and take out the carpet. We had to throw out some of the stuff that was in there. The house was empty. That's what Jesus does. And now we need to come and fill it up. What does He fill it up with? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, was given to you? He fills us up with the very Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. And we need to ask Him to come and fill us daily. Because if we're not asking for more of Him, more than likely we're going to be asking for more of something else. And the stock exchange is going to begin again, and the sale are things that we will buy that we do not need. We go on and we look at the third section of 1 Corinthians 6:20, a very small verse here. I am not my own. I was bought at a price. Therefore what? Honor God with your body. Honor God with your life. Now here, when we look at 1 Corinthians 6, if you look at the Bible, and you look at sort of the headings that they put in there, what is the heading of this section? In fact, there are two words that dominate this section. In Greek, one is porneia, one is sarx. Porneia, you might guess, is sexual immorality. The second one is our body. As we've gone through life, Paul is saying one of the major areas that we have messed up in, that we have believed the lie on, and we have made this great exchange, is with our body and in the use of our sexual body. Therefore, when Paul says, honor God with your body, in this section he's very much talking about honoring God with your body in your sexual nature. Now, a lot of times we have abused these two things. We've misused them. And we believe the lies of Satan. So I'd like to speak real quick about the truth. First of all, our body. Our body is not bad. Our body is good. Our body was created by God and called good. Genesis 1:26-27. Genesis 1:31. It says, God saw all that He made was good. Second, God created us in His image. The very body and life and soul and spirit He gave us were created in His image. Second of all, we are filled. Our body is filled with life from God. He could have chose not to give us body, but He did. And He filled it with His Spirit. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Last of all, I'd like to tell you the truth that our body, when we are in Christ, is a dwelling place of the very presence and Spirit of God, which we've just read. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's about our body. What about sex? Sex was created by God, given to us from God. Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man will leave his mother and father and unite with his wife, and they will become one flesh. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, man and woman, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. These are the truths. But so many times, we don't understand the purpose of things that our bodies to be used for, or the purpose of what sex is for. What are the purposes? One, create children. Now, I know a lot of us who are mothers and fathers, children are such a blessing. And at the same time, some of them, sometimes we're thinking, no, they're not. Yes, they are. Because they just keep us busy, busy, busy. I think my name, Daddy, was said probably about 52 times yesterday. Daddy, 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 Daddy. I like it, but after a while, it begins to work. Can I just focus here? 1 second. Two, build a family. A family is an important institution and an important product of our bodies being used in a sexual way to produce children and to build a family. And I believe a family is very much of a great representation of all that God is trying to speak to us about. Relationship, intimate relationship, not only with a wife, but also with our children. Understanding sacrifice, suffering, giving, love. Last of all, purpose of sex is to build intimacy, true intimacy, with one that you have a commitment with, that you have a trust with, and it does not go out of that, because you cannot have intimacy without trust. But we have abused the purposes of these. And the way that we abuse this is just very simple. It's not complicated. Because our body and our sexual body has been used in a way outside of marriage and outside of God. And when we say outside of God, we're basically saying that my body is my own. And I will do with it whatever I want, however I want. But if you are inside God, if you are inside Christ, you're saying, body doesn't belong to me. It's been bought at a price, and therefore I will honor God. And in that, we fulfill those purposes of God. Having children, having a family, having an intimacy, going and being, having our character shaped. And honoring God because His Holy Spirit dwells in us. this scripture seems to be in a class all by itself when it's talking about the sins that we commit against our body in a sexual way. Because in sexual sin, it has to be against the body. And we who are in Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in us is like sinning against the Holy Spirit or bringing that Spirit into this action. Reading from Neil Anderson, talking about who I am in Christ, he speaks of this. He says, and I'm just going to quote him, "In hundreds of cases, I've seen unholy sex lead to unholy bonding, making God-ordained sex in marriage with a spouse undesirable, and bonding even with God the Father seem impossible. Secular studies have also shown that excessive sexual expression before marriage lead to inhibited marital sex in marriage. Many people confess to me, I enjoy sex with others, but now that I'm married, I can hardly stand to be touched. What has happened? They believed the lie. They engaged and made themselves slaves to Satan and to the sin that they were enjoying. And now when they look to be in that new stock exchange, in their identity in Christ, all of this old stuff continues to come in to their mind and to their heart. This unholy bonding has been forged deep within, and it's hard for them to escape. They believe the lies of the enemy from the beginning, and we must identify these, that, oh, if it's done in private, it's okay. No, it's not. That lust is okay. It's just something of the mind, and it's between me and myself. No, it's not. Acting out on the lust is okay. No, it's not. That pornography is okay because it's just with myself. Very much when we believe the fantasy, it becomes reality, and we have fallen in again to the bondage and enslavement of Satan. Believe the lie that sex is love. That is not the truth. And we need to know the truth, what the purpose is of, and that's in marriage and in God, that now we use it. Today I'd just like to take some time to pray to the Lord, to take some time to renounce the things that we've used our body for in the wrong way. That today we declare that our identity is in Christ, that we are not our own. We declare that we've been bought with a price, and we belong to God. That we declare that now we will honor God with our body. If I could have Ruth, could you play some piano? Would you mind? We're going to bow our heads right now before the Lord. We're going to also, as we do that, read a prayer together. Esther, if you could go to the next prayer. Right now, this is between you and God. A time to ask the Lord to come and buy us back. To allow His blood to cover over us and make us white as snow, pure as water. We could read this, and we're going to stop here in the middle of this prayer. But if you could join me, and then I'll stop us. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You as Your child. I now ask You to reveal to my mind every use of my body as an instrument of unrighteousness. I confess and renounce that sexual use of my body as an instrument of unrighteousness. Right now, we'd just like to stop before the Lord to begin to name those silently. To say, Lord, I confess that I use my body in this way. And I renounce that in the name of Jesus. And then to the next one. And to the next. Let us pray. Let's finish this prayer. I now submit my body to you as an instrument of righteousness, and I command Satan to leave my presence. I reverse the sexual use of my body for my spouse only. I now ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Oh, Father God, we ask that you would come and buy us back today. Buy us back, Lord Jesus. Buy us back in every way. Set us free. God, that our life would no longer be enslaved to the things of the world. Father God, when the sails come at us, when the temptations are before us, Lord, we ask that we would only buy Jesus. God, establish our identity fully in you as your children, as accepted fully in you, as loved by you, as justified by you. God, declare over us with your blood that we are a new creation and the old is gone and the new has come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have bought us with that great price of yours so that we could be saved. That we no longer belong to ourselves, Lord, but all that we are, Lord Jesus, belongs to you. We declare all of ourselves for all of you, Jesus. We say we love you this day, Jesus. Come and be our first love, Lord. Our first love.